right, we are not going to be going to Acts 7 this morning, so sorry for all y'all if you turned there early. We are not headed there. We're going a different direction this morning. And before we actually read from the Bible, I want to just mention kind of what's been going on with the youth. As you know, I mentioned it earlier, the youth are currently on a youth retreat down at Crystal Springs. And again, as I was thinking about how we thank God for providing for us, I just once again want to thank God for how He's provided a youth intern for me this semester, even before I knew what was going on, because I'm just so grateful that Allison is there with them right now, as they're probably on their way back now. So I'm just so grateful for that. But they are on a retreat down there. It's for our high school students. And the theme of the retreat was mysterious things. Now, and it's kind of based on the show Stranger Things, if we have any Stranger Things fans in here. But it's also based on how God is mysterious. How God is often bigger and more wonderful and works in ways that kind of defy our imagination sometimes. That if we look back over our lives and if we think about the stories of the Bible, so many times we get this sense of a God who will not be contained, will not be put in a box, and won't be denied in so many ways, no matter what obstacles are kind of put out there. And so that's kind of been the theme of the retreat this weekend. And so this whole week, that's kind of what I've been thinking about, and I just wanted to speak on that a little bit this morning. Because, you know, life in so many ways is not often neat, right? It's not often, doesn't often go like we think it should go or is supposed to go. It can't be reduced to a simple formula of if I do A, then B or C is definitely going to happen, right? Sometimes it has a way of throwing us curveballs. And I'm so grateful that we have a God who the Bible tells us is infinitely more complex than I think oftentimes we give God credit for. And when we think of mystery, I think, you know, especially for the youth, we talked about how many times when we think of this concept of mystery, we think of like Scooby-Doo, right? Like at the end of the show, we're going to figure out, we're going to get all the answers and learn everything, and we're going to have everything wrapped up in a nice, nice bow. But you know, a lot of times in life, we have a lot of questions that don't get answered, or we have a lot of things that happen that we just are waiting to figure out why, and we don't necessarily get those answers. The Bible says, I think about 1 Corinthians 13, how it says, now we know in part, but one day we'll know in full. And sometimes it's that in part that I have trouble with a little bit. You know, I want to know it all. But God says, be content with the mystery. Be content with the mystery. And you know, when I think about the mystery of God, one verse kind of comes to mind so often for me, and that's Isaiah 55:8. You may not recognize Isaiah 55:8 off the top of your heads, but you probably recognize when it says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways," says the Lord. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. How many times have you heard that? I've heard it quite a bit. And when I think about the context of really how I hear that, usually it's in the context of either some great loss that we've experienced, or there's something going on that we can't explain, something that's not working out like we thought it was going to work out. And so people say, you know, God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And honestly, it's very comforting for me at times, but it's also very sometimes it feels like a cop-out sometimes, and maybe that's just because I want to know, I have this desire to know, but sometimes it just feels like I need something more. And you know, I started thinking about that a lot this week, that verse in particular, and so that's kind of the direction we're going to go this morning. We're going to jump over there this week and read that. But as I was preparing for it this morning, I went and I revisited that verse. And you know, as we seek to become good Bible readers here in this church, or continue to be good Bible readers in this church, we have to remember that every verse we read, we have to remember the context in which it was written and the things that are going on around it. Don't ever just pick out a verse and say, build your entire understanding of God on one particular verse. It's not a good idea. We always have to read our verses in context of what's around it, what's going on at its time, and what even the whole Bible has to say about it. And so I did some homework this week, and I was reading this verse, and so we're going to read this morning Isaiah 55. We're going to read the whole chapter, and we're going to read even a little into Isaiah 56 as well. So if you'd like to turn over there with me, that's where we're going to be going this morning. Isaiah 55, we're going to start here in verse 1. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. It shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and restrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, to choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name, better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow. All right. That was a passage of Scripture. And here's what really stood out to me when I read through it this week. Did you catch what God's ways and thoughts were that were so much higher and so much different than we can imagine? Did you catch the context in which he spoke them? He says back there in verse 6 and 7, I want to read that again. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For he will abundantly pardon. As I read those verses this week, I was taken back that when so many times when we say that verse to people, when we say, well, remember the Lord's ways are greater than ours, and remember how God's thoughts are not our thoughts, that those verses are specifically mentioned in the context of mercy and pardon. That God's ways and his thoughts, while that can apply to so many things here in these verses, in a time when the Israelites were abandoned from God, when they were in exile, cast out of their ancestral home, when they were away from this place, the temple, where they thought that God's presence was, that God says to them, remember that I have mercy on you, that I am the God who will abundantly pardon. That is incredible to me. That is incredible to me when we think about who God is. That just as high as the heavens are from the earth, so is God's mercy to those of us that fear him and to those in which are wicked and unrighteous, and yet we see that God has mercy. And as we look ahead to our trees of the field verses, did y'all think about our song as you read those? I sure did. The song that we sing here, we see that instead of the thorn will come up the cypress, instead of the briar, the myrtle will come up, and it will be an everlasting sign that will not be cut off. In Genesis 3, when we read about the fall of humanity, how they rebelled against God, we read that in those verses, how it says that there'll be thorns and briars that'll be in the land. And here we read about how, yes, those have been, but now God is doing something different. That now, instead of thorns and briars, we will see trees and beauty, and we will see an everlasting sign that will not be cut off. And as we look to Isaiah 56, did you notice again who the passage was referring to? It says, don't let the foreigner who is joined to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. The foreigner, someone who is outside the people of Israel, someone who is ethnically and racially different, someone who didn't grow up with the law, didn't grow up with the stories of God, but yet someone who through some means or another knows the Lord. God has said here, don't let them say that they'll be separate. Why? Because God's ways are different than our ways, and his mercy and his abundant pardon goes far beyond what we can imagine. Don't let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. And yet God says, I will have a place for you here. And finally, at the end of 56, the end of the passage we read, it says, thus says the Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. Of course, we know that God is opposed to our sin and disobedience and rebellion. And he mourns when we make choices and we live in ways that go against him. But my friends, what I think God is calling us to in these passages is to remember that God's mercy and his grace are bigger and wilder than any of us can ever previously think and imagine. That what if we can be, and I'm afraid that I and many of us who have grown up in church can sometimes be way too hasty to judge those that we might think have gone beyond the reach of God's grace and God's mercy. That they have lived a life that maybe has gone too far. And yet here we were reminded of a God who says, no, you don't. What you think you know about who I am goes far beyond what you can imagine. It makes me think about passages in the New Testament, like Matthew chapter 9, how we read about how Jesus would eat with the sinners and eat with the tax collectors, and how it would make some people so mad to see Jesus going, and they would ask his disciples, do you see what your master's doing? Do you see the kind of people that he's eating with? Do you wonder, do you know what kind of reputation he might get? You know that some people are calling him a drunk, right? Because of these people that he's eating with. Do you know that some people are being they can't handle the fact that they see Jesus spending time with those kind of people, and we're reminded in those passages of who God has always been. That yes, God's ways are greater and different than us because God's mercy and his pardon is so much wider and more expansive than I think we can ever imagine. And I know that for many of us, we have a hard time with that. And maybe you all have a hard time understanding a God of undeserved love because of in your life you have experienced a lot of pain or a lot of people that have only given you love when they felt like you deserved it. When you did what they felt like was right. And I just want to remind you and encourage you to think about God differently. To look into these passages and to look in the New Testament about how Jesus was and is. And to be reminded that God's the most mysterious, wonderful thing about God is His love for us. To think about the passages in Luke 15 where we read about this story that God tells the people about the father who comes and runs and meets his son who has just spent his whole life in rebellion, but who has finally turned back to God or turned back to the Father and has met him with arms wide open. And to remind us to not be like the older brother who just cannot believe that the Father's love would extend that far. Because God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways, specifically when it comes to His mercy. And my friends, I want to encourage you this morning to think about your own life and to think about how you think about yourself and to think about those in your life that maybe you've been willing to write off a little bit. And maybe that person is you. I want to remind you this morning of who God says you are. To remember that Jesus welcomes you to the table. That Jesus says, do not exclude anyone from the table because I have invited you. To think about as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper, that Jesus, if we look around that table, we see an incredible group of people that are there. We see people that looked at Jesus and said, there's no way I'm gonna follow you. You're from Nazareth. You're from that town with that reputation. And yet they're at the table. We see people on different political parties that are together at that table. People who would seem like they would be opposite in every way, and yet they're there at the table. And yet we also see the man that would later go on to betray Jesus himself, that Jesus once again offers communion to. Something that I don't know if I or you would have the ability to do, and yet Jesus does it. Why? Because our God is abundant in mercy and in His ability to pardon. And that when we think we have God figured out, just when we think we can understand how God's mercy is for us, He just does something unexpected. And so I want to encourage you this morning and this week to think about that mercy for yourself. To think about the ways in which you have been considering your own life and the ways in which you feel like maybe you don't measure up. Or maybe you don't have something to offer. Or maybe you have this past that just cannot be redeemed. And I want to encourage you to let those voices in your head and in your heart come in contact with the Word of God. Because God said His Word will not come back to Him void and empty. And yet let these words of God's great, mysterious, amazing love meet you where you are. And I pray you discover that His mercy knows no bounds. Let's pray. Our loving God, we thank You so much that we can revisit what for many of us is a familiar passage and be reminded that when we share those words about the mysterious nature that You have, about the fact that we can't figure You out, that it's specifically drawn to your love for us. Because God, as there's so much in this life and about you we don't understand or we can't quite comprehend, one thing, Lord, that as I read throughout Scripture that I know is not a mystery is how you feel about us. That as we seek to get to know you, we can do so knowing that there is no mystery into your love for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And that, God, as you call us into a relationship with you, as you call us to come to know you, that we can do so knowing that you care about us because Jesus gave his life for us. And so, Lord, as we go throughout our lives and as we get ready to partake in the Lord's Supper, remind us of that great fact. Remind us that we have a place at the table. Because you are a God who eats with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, and that your mercy goes far beyond what we can imagine. And help us to treat one another the same way. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And as we get ready to sing our final hymn, I want to encourage you to think about and consider the ways in which maybe you need to rethink God's mercy in your own life. To rethink about the way in which God might be calling you to be gracious and merciful to those in your life, and to consider afresh and anew a God who is bigger and who defies our imaginations so often. I pray that you would spend this time as we worship considering just how wonderful the Lord is.